Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this Easter day, would you read together with me today's sermon title, We Are Going Home. Based on the prophet Isaiah, listen to this verse, Isaiah 55, verse 12. Indeed, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you will break into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. I invite you to follow the pink insert in your service folder today. Follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, We Are Going Home. Home. What memories come to your mind? I wish you could have seen the pictures I shared with the little ones. So many memories of these different places that I used to call home. Travelers, when they're on long trips, have been driving for days and days. When they see the sign on the side of the road saying how many miles or kilometers to their hometown, they sigh and they say, almost home. Cowboys have sung, home, home on the range. Soldiers have sung when Johnny comes marching home again. But a little girl from Kansas, in a timeless movie that really was all about going back home, said it best for all of us when she clicked together three times her ruby red slippers and said, there's no place like home. There is no place like home. And hear me clearly today. Easter means those who have put their faith in Christ are going home. Today on Easter Sunday, let's explore this promise of God based on the words from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was addressing people of Israel and Judah who were living far from home in the 6th century B.C. They had been exiled to a foreign country of Babylon because of their sin and their rebellion. They yearned for a homecoming. They really wanted to go home to the land of Judah, but they had a huge problem. A terrible reality called the Empire of Babylon was like a fire-breathing dragon that had devastated everything near and dear to them. In 587 B.C., this empire of Babylon decided once and for all to destroy Jerusalem, to exile the people of Judah. Now so many of the people of Judah lived in a Babylonian refugee camp, in a hostile foreign land, far from home. They had no temple for worship or a place to make sacrifice for their sins. They had no king, no priesthood, no royal city, no land, no hope, no future. And probably many of them thought they had no God, that He had abandoned them. Oh God, we want to go home. There's no place like home. We who have been spoiled and blessed living in North America have no concept of what it means to be uprooted from our homes and our families, to see our loved ones killed before us, to be exiled in a foreign land. But that was the fate of these Judeans. They were far from home, but God assured them He had not abandoned them. He was with them in Babylon. But the real problem they had was not they were far from Judah. The real problem was in their hearts. They were far from their heavenly Father. Just like the prodigal son that Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 15 in the New Testament, these Israelites had squandered their holy inheritance from God, thumbed their noses at Him, turned their backs on Him. Now, earlier, God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, given them a land they would call Judah, but like the prodigal son, they turned their backs on God. We would never do such a thing, would we? The list is long and ugly for the people of Judah. Giving in to the enticing worship of the false god Baal. Bowing down to the seductive worship of the false god of the Assyrians and their idols. Perverting justice and righteousness so they could fit in with all their pagan neighbors in Babylon. We'd never do such a thing, would we? Turning their backs on God so they could become like the Canaanite pagans all around them. Worthless worship. Faithless faith. They spit in God's face and His many mercies. And so, on August 19th, mark your calendar, on August 19th, 587 BC, God had finally had enough. It was time for discipline, strict discipline that would bring His people to repentance. And so God sent the Babylonians, and Jerusalem was destroyed. It was the day many Judeans were led by spear point into exile in Babylon, to a foreign land, to a hostile land, so far from home. What does this mean for us today? Some of us are far from our homes, far from where we have been raised, but more important than that, all of us are far away from our Heavenly Father. It's the way we operate. It's the way we live. We are in right now, stuck in a land of our own exile, by our own sinful, stubborn rebellion. We sell our baptismal promises. For what? Living like the pagans all around us, turning our backs on God's many mercies. Living hypocritical lives, pursuing unhealthy relationships, chasing after the false gods of our day, success and wealth, popularity and possessions, casting aside, are you listening? Casting aside the holy faith passed on to us by our parents and our grandparents. And then the devil plants his foot right on our necks. And here's what he says to us. God is finished with you. You have earned this exile far from your Heavenly Father. You deserve to be homeless. You deserve to be an exile. But the absolute truth of Holy Scripture is this. God does not abandon exiles. God speaks to exiles. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12, we read the promise God spoke first to the Judeans in exile in Babylon and now speaks to us today. Give ear. The prophet says, "For you shall go out in joy, and you shall be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, and the trees of the field," he says, "will clap their hands." Just when Israel's history seemed finished, just when their lives seemed controlled by the hopeless Babylonian imperial policy, God acted. To the shock of everybody, God raises up a man named Cyrus. Now catch this, Cyrus is a Persian, not even a believer. God raises up Cyrus, the king of Persia, that defeats Babylon and releases, I say it again, releases the people of Judah to go home. Look at your sermon outline. Our God is the God whose hand is behind all human history. You see, here's a little history lesson if you like history. The imperial policy of the nation of Babylon was to exile conquered people, to spread them out, to destroy them, to control them. And God used this reality of history to discipline His people of Judah. But then came the Persians, whom God brought on the scene. And it just so happened that the imperial policy of the Persians was to resettle conquered people back in their own homelands so they would be happier and less likely to rebel. God used this reality of history to bring his exiles home. And then God calls the Persian king Cyrus, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who's come to bring the exiles home. Standing behind this promise is the mighty word of God. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 8, "The word of our God stands forever." God said it. That settles it. Faith believes it. God's word is powerful. And it just so happened that some centuries later, in a little town called Bethlehem, this word of God took on flesh and blood, and he had a heart that was beating for you and me. John 1:14 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is that word of God became flesh. And don't you know, Jesus knows the bitter pains of exile. Jesus knows the bitter pains of being far from his right home. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said about himself, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no place to lay my head." But more pressing, he was far from his Father in heaven. Far from his Father in heaven as he was whipped and scourged and spit upon and nailed to Calvary's cross. So far from his Father in heaven he was that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As the Father turned his back on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus bore your sins and my sins on Calvary's cross, Jesus was far from his heavenly Father and his home. Never was anyone so far from home. And you know what I'm going to say next? It may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. And on Easter Sunday, he rose from the grave, God's true Messiah, true Anointed One, Jesus, the true Cyrus, who has come to bring his people home to free us from our captivity to sin and to death. And bodily raised on the third day, the grand symphony of all creation rocks on. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And because Jesus is risen, we exiles are going home. Did you ever get homesick in your life? Homesick, I'm talking about for your heavenly home, where everything will be right and good as God means it to be. Some of you I know have felt homeless when your spouse, your husband or wife died. Your child was buried. You lost your job. The doctor pointed out that lump in your breast or the spot on your lung. Others of you wanted a home, a lasting home, when your home collapsed, when it was hit by death or divorce or disease. In life filled with uncertainties and changes, all of us yearn for a lasting home. And hear me carefully today, Easter means we are going home. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. Because Jesus rose, we who put our trust in Him will rise also. And He will take us home to a new Jerusalem, where there will be no more pain or tears or fears or death or divorce or cancer or depression or uncertainty. No death, no end forever. Jesus promises in John chapter 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Our heavenly home is no dormitory room. Rob Roy, our home is no army barracks. Our home is not some temporary student housing. Our heavenly home is not a Super 8 or a Holiday Inn Express. This is a true and lasting home. We prodigal sons and daughters who have strayed from our Lord and turned our backs on Him, because of the forgiveness of sins we are given in Jesus Christ, we prodigal sons and daughters will be welcomed home. The price has been paid. The party has been prepared. And our Father is already rehearsing His welcome home speech. The same speech He gave in the prodigal son parable of Luke 15. "This child of mine was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found, and he's home." You know, we all, if we're honest with ourselves, no matter how old or young we are, we all have deep down inside a desire to go home. God has placed this desire in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, this is what God says: "I have set eternity into the hearts of men." Translation: we want to go home. And we, like a certain parakeet I read about from Green Bay, Wisconsin, know that we're not home yet. I want to share with you a story I shared with some of you over a year and a half ago, a story of a parakeet named Putzi. When I first read the story, I laughed out loud. Putzi, the parakeet, escaped from her owner and ended up in an animal shelter in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Soon, though, she was adopted by a woman by the name of Susan Gleason. And Susan brought Putzi the parakeet home. And they got along very well. She was there for quite a while. But one day, Putzi did something very unique. She flew and lighted upon Mrs. Gleason's shoulder. Then she gently put her beak into her ear and whispered clearly these words: 1500 South Oneida Street, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mrs. Gleason was amazed. She did some research on the internet and discovered that address existed. So she put Putzi in her car and drove to the address. And there, as she knocked on the door, she met a man, a 79-year-old man by the name of John Strubant. And she said, "Mr. Strubant, do you have a parakeet named Putzi?" And he said, "I used to, but she left home. I miss her terribly." When Mrs. Gleason took Mr. Strubant to her car, the homecoming was amazing. Putzi flying and flying and chirping and strooping, and this elderly man jumping up and down and clapping his hands. Putzi was home. And then Mr. Strubant laughed and told to Mrs. Gleason, "You know something else? She not only knows her address, she knows her home phone number as well." You see, Putzi was fine with Mrs. Gleason, but she knew she didn't belong there. She knew she had a real home. And this story, my friends, is not as crazy as you might think. Remember the passage from Ecclesiastes 3? God says, "I have set eternity into the hearts of all men." Deep down inside, we know we're not home yet. And with Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, we click our heels and we say, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way. As he first spoke to Judean exiles in 587 BC, and he speaks to us today in 2015, he said, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And our response? Our response is only this. We will join the hymn of all creation that will be sung on that last day, the last day of this sinful world, and the first day of eternity. We shall sing from the book of Revelation, "For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign." Hallelujah. And then the next song we will sing will be that first Easter song. He is risen. He is risen. And we will sing an endless and a deathless hallelujah. Why? Because we are going home. In the name of Jesus, amen.